If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to stage a sit-in for very important reproductive health rights of women? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, as always, the amazing Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good. So many compliments so early. Amazing. That's so sweet of you. Listen, must be in a good mood.
I am. I'm in an excellent mood. My birthday was yesterday. It was a lovely day.
Tell me all about it. Because,
yes.
I mean, the only person that I know that loves birthdays more than me is you.
I do. You know what? I feel like my husband might be giving us a run for our money.
He loves his birthday.
Well, he loves my birthday. Like, he was very excited for my birthday. Mm-hmm. It was like a very calm, chill, lovely, low key day.
Yeah.
We had cake. We went to the drive-ins, which is one of our like absolute favorite things to do.
That cake looked so good. Tell everybody about it.
So there's this local coffee shop place to us. That's also, they also do baked goods. Mm-hmm. And we got our wedding cake there. We got our wedding cookies there.
They
we,
make, I think, excellent scones that I still think about.
Yes, my favorite cheese Danish is from there.
Yeah, I've only been maybe once or twice. You got me coffee from there once or twice, which I appreciate.
Yeah, it's the best little local place for us. And he got me a cake there and it was like Reese's flavor. So like the cake was chocolate, which was, I'm not like a big chocolate cake person, but combined with the like peanut, it's like very light though. Cause you know how sometimes peanut butter can be like very heavy and like too rich. It was very light. So it was like a peanut buttery frosting. It had like a whipped cream sort of filling and like crumbled Reese's on the top. It was so, so good. One of the best cakes I've honestly ever had.
I'm so really jealous that you are 1 billion miles away because I would fuck that cake up.
It's so good. And they have like perfect sizings too. So like this cake, the way we cut it, you could get like 8 slices, which is kind of perfect because, you know, we don't need a massive, massive cake.
Yeah. Did you share your cake with like your parents or anything? Or is this a cake for you guys for the next X amount of days?
Yeah, this is just a cake for us. I'm going to see my family tonight. And we always, as is tradition in our Sterling household, we do ice cream cake for everyone's birthdays.
People are like lovers of ice cream cake. I'm like, when if I go to a birthday party and they and I see that the fucking cake is ice cream cake, I literally want to shoot myself in the head. Like, I'm not joking either, because
you're just like, not
I love cake so much. Like, cake is like such a top tier dessert. I think it's like a billion times better than pie. I'll take a cupcake, that's okay, but like, if I show up to a party and like, or like, oh my God, a wedding and like, I don't know, like, and if I'm expecting cake, I'm like, I want my slice of cake, and they fucking show up with an ice cream cake, I'm like, I'm fucking leaving.
I'm done here.
I'm done. I am only here for the cake. Yes, I will celebrate you for X amount of time, but if there's no fucking cake, then I'm done. I'm absolutely fucking done.
Yeah, I like both. Like, I think the thing is the reason I like the ice cream cake is because it's like tradition in my family. Yeah, so like, I'm just so used to it. But yeah, like if put in front of me was a cake and an ice cream cake, I would go for the cake. Every single time.
Well, there's a lot of people that would go for the ice cream cake because of the fucking crunchies. And I'll tell you
what. Oh, I love the crunchies.
Everybody loves the crunchies. Then just get a fucking cup of crunchies and call it a fucking day.
She's true.
I get so worked
up. You're very worked up.
Yeah, I feel like the only thing that I get worked up by is my cake, I guess. Yeah. Anything else about your birthday? Did you, besides those adorable little notebooks, did you get any prezzies?
Yeah, so I've been needing a new laptop, like, because I do, because of the way my work works, you know, I can travel and work from anywhere. And so, but the problem is my former laptop, it's like almost 10 years old. Like, it's really old for a laptop. Wow. And it would really struggle when I would go anywhere to like keep up, you know? So I've been needing a laptop, and I've just been putting it off because, number one, I am not the most tech savvy person. And so like doing the research and like, what is a good laptop for me and my needs? I just didn't ever want to do it. And obviously like they can be very expensive as well. So I just didn't want to have to deal with it. Thankfully, Will took charge. He found me a laptop that is absolutely beautiful. And I'm very, very excited about it. I also got a new planter for my Pothos, you know, my hanging Pothos in my living room. I feel like she's outgrowing her current living situation.
Yeah.
So I have to repot her, and I'm very excited for that.
Very exciting. What kind of computer did you get?
I think it's an Asus. Okay. ASUS. I don't know how to pronounce that. Asus.
Now, okay, I don't want to, like, I'm not a private investigator or whatever, but I did hear that Will, your husband, also recently got a new laptop. So is this like, did he say a little for you, a little for me?
No, this, I got him a laptop, was it last Christmas or something like that?
Yeah.
Because his was like, we both had very, very old laptops.
Yeah.
So now we're in the
other day, you said that he was setting up his new laptop, and maybe you said my new laptop and I misread it.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't know. His laptop is fine. His laptop is fairly new, but not okay. Like new.
I was just going to say.
No, that would be funny, though. Like a 2-for-1 deal.
You get new laptop, I get new laptop.
Little BOGO. Okay. But yeah, so that's those.
I wish.
Those were the birthday festivities. It was a lovely day. We had beautiful weather as opposed to the torrential downpour, which I hope everyone is like safe. Anybody who is like impacted by Hurricane Debbie, I hope everyone's doing okay. Because that was like,
is that no,
Debbie, the name Debbie is
that
ridiculous.
Literally what the hurricane
that's the name
was?
Of it. Yes.
Really? I had no
they
idea.
They need to. Yeah, it's really bad because you can't. How do you take it seriously, even though it's very serious? How do you take it seriously?
Yeah. I mean, watching Shameless, I'm like, yeah, that tracks. I don't have to worry about hurricanes no more in the Midwest as a. No. Midwest princess. I literally do not have to worry about that. I had no idea there was a hurricane, but we had beautiful weather yesterday in Indianapolis as well.
It's been very nice. So nice little.
I got a new car.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. What type of car is it?
The car is a Toyota RAV4 hybrid.
Oh, a hybrid. That's
both of our cars are hybrids, which we are very excited about.
Love that.
Yeah. If people don't know, I haven't had my own car or a car. Well, I mean, I've been sharing Adam's car for a year. A year ago, I had a run-in with a New Jersey Transit bus.
That happened.
The true story. My brakes went out. I literally went, I T-boned a bus and totaled my car, which is, it's just like so stupid because like, it couldn't be like a normal thing, like, you know, a normal accident. Like people like normally just go into like little accidents with other cars or with like a tree. I had to fucking hit a bus.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Did. You had to do it bigger and better than most.
Yeah. So I've been borrowing Adam's car for a year and we've been a one car household, which has been at times frustrating, but we worked it out pretty well. But now that we're both like trying to be social butterflies in Indianapolis, it just like was getting harder and harder. Ivy, Adam's car, is having some issues. She's an oldie, but a goodie. Mm-hmm. So her ABS system is out, which is not great. Her abs are gone.
Her poor abs.
Yeah, the abs are gone. So we needed a new car, and then we're just going to use the other car for like, you know, if one of us is out and the other one has to go run little errands, sort of thing. So yeah, she's a white car. She is glorious. Mm-hmm. She's a little bit older too, but that's okay.
That's fine. That's like
it's a Toyota, and
Toyotas last for so long.
That's what the people on the streets say.
I've had a Toyota. My husband currently has a Toyota. They last a really, really long time.
That is what the people say. So it only has like 66,000 miles on it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Because it's used. And then, but it's a 2016. So it's a little bit older.
Oh, yeah.
But I was driving in 2008. And Adam's car is like an 2009. So
you're in the future now, baby.
We're in the future. Yeah. One day we'll get one of those CarPlays, Apple CarPlays, but not today.
Not today. You were like 2 years away from that, I think, with the 16.
Yeah. It's fine because it runs. And
it gets you from A to B.
Yeah. It's definitely like a mom car.
Mm-hmm.
It would fit a car seat if that is something in my future.
Yes, if it's two dogs, which is great.
No, we're not having two dogs. I mean, we do have two dogs, but
yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're not having two dogs, except that we already do.
We already have two dogs. Yeah. Ruby has been, I mean, both of the dogs have been so annoying because they're senior citizens. And now I just feel like Ruby has become like, you know, like those, like, you know, grandpas that just like talk into the ether.
Yes.
Like nonstop. And it's just like yelling and is delirious.
Yeah.
That is Ruby. Ruby is now just yelling at me constantly. I just sit, I'm sitting down and she's just yelling at me. I'm like, okay, like, do you want to go outside? No. Like, do you want to?
She want a treat?
No. Do you want, like, she just wants to yell at me.
Mm-hmm.
I think she wants attention. Sure.
She just wants to be heard. Yeah.
I guess she's a lot to say. It's like, oh God, your beagle is like certainly coming out.
Yeah, she's beagling hard.
Yeah, and she doesn't really do it to Adam because Adam trained her well. But I'm a sucker. All dogs
they know it. They always know you're the easy one. Like
every
always.
Single dog, like whenever, you know, you and like when we've hung out with a billion dogs or like whatever, all dogs go right to me. They just know that I'm the sucker. And not even before I make my first mistake of giving in. They just know. It's incredible. Yeah,
they know. They know you're going to fall for it every time.
Yeah, they know I'm a beta. All right, let's talk about some Felicity. I'm sorry. We're doing
catch up. Yeah, we're catching up here.
It's all right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about season 2, episode 16, Revolutions, today. Revolution. And I have to apologize because I made fun of the title last time. But I really, really liked this episode.
Yeah. I mean, of course, we are two women living in America, so it is extremely topical, extremely front of mind, especially with Roe v. Wade getting overthrown last year, and also with mumblings of Project 2025, with you know, government being able to make decisions for women over, like, even more so than our own doctors and ourselves. So it's very, very, very topical. I know that we have friends that live all over the world, Canada, wherever. So for some people, it's not like top of mind and like top of worry. We also have, you know, we might even have some people that like might have differing opinions than us, and that's okay too. But Jessica and I are very, very passionate about this subject. So if that's not for you, that's okay. And we'll see you in the next. But I don't think that with everything that's going on in the world right now, you and I could not toe the line of being like having a university or a government or a man tell us what we can do with our bodies is absolutely fucking bullshit. And fuck you for thinking that that is something that is nearly remotely acceptable. It should be between a woman and their doctor to make the decision. And I fucking hate the red tape. I think it's absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, it's upsetting and wild that this episode of television is 30 years old and we are still having the same conversations now about reproductive health and about a woman's right to choose. It is deeply, deeply upsetting that this is the reality that we're living in. Of course, it's an election year. Go out and vote, please.
Register to vote. You still have time.
You still have plenty of time. Like we know maybe you're not like an excited voter. I understand that, but it has never been more important for the future of our country, for the country Sarah and I live in. It has never been more important for you to vote. So I just wanted to put that out at the top. But like, yeah, the fact that that this is so topical is really upsetting because you'd think that we would have solved this issue by now. But there are people who want to
go back.
Yeah, they want to go back. They want to control women's bodies. And it's upsetting to say the least. However, I will say, Sarah, I loved this episode because I felt like they handled this topic so well, better than I would have ever thought a 90s show would handle it. And on top of that, I felt like they really wove in like Julie's history of sexual assault and how that's impacted her, and how we had last season she needed Plan B, which is kind of the big topic of discussion this episode.
Yeah.
Weaving that in with like Felicity and her beliefs and how it's difficult for her to like know exactly what to do here. It just and like every single character, in my opinion, acted the way I would have expected them to, given the situation. You know what I mean? Like the way Elena comes out for things very hard, and even even Ruby, who has just herself, again, we're pro-choice, meaning whether or not you want to have a baby is up to you. Ruby has ultimately decided she wants to have the baby, well within her right to do so.
Right.
She even turns up at this event for
support. Yeah, because she went to this health center, was met with support and all the information. I don't think this health center was able to perform abortions, if I'm remembering correctly, or maybe they were. I'm not quite sure.
I think they gave referrals or something.
That would make sense. Yeah. So like, but she was given the information, met without judgment, and given her options. Perfect. So it's like, it's amazing that she was able to get that information from this student health center. I think that this was done extremely well. Also, I think that this is an extremely intelligent show. And I think that that probably speaks to, I don't know who the writer was of this episode. I don't know how involved J.J. Abrams was in the making of this episode, but I just feel safe in his hands right now. Like, I just feel like I can trust him with big topics like this, and they are done well. And I think I've said this before, but this is, of all the shows that we have covered, this is probably the smartest show, and probably like the show that like can handle these topics and be done, do it well. I just feel like, I mean, immensely proud of Felicity. Like, I think that she was great in this episode. I think it was great for Julie to stand up. I think that everybody was remarkable, except for Ben and Noel, who are idiots, but that's
they're idiots, but like I still think they provided some really lovely comic relief in what is a very heavy episode without them.
That's a good point. They just like completely literally missed everything. They missed
they're men doing man stuff of like, we're gonna fight instead of talk. Like, men will do anything to not go to therapy sort of vibes.
Literally missed the entire sit-in. They are idiots. Yeah.
They could have used the support guys, but that's fine. But yeah, to your point, directed by Barnett Kalman, and the writers are listed as J.J. Abrams, Matt Reeves, and Lynn Cantor. So I just wanted to give them credit for a fantastic episode. And I agree with you in terms of, if we're going to compare this to like Dawson's Creek being the easiest Dawson's comparison. Creek
would have done a terrible job with this.
Terrible. Would have done an absolute atrocious job. And I agree with you, like, I felt so immensely proud of Felicity as a character. I don't think I've ever loved her more than I did this episode because, let's face it, like, this is a difficult topic to begin with, let alone the fact that she's volunteering at this health center, let alone that she's interested in the director of the health center romantically, that her dad is putting pressure on her, that like she could be arrested, kicked out of school. Like, there's many, many, many repercussions that could have happened that would have negatively affected her after she's already in trouble. Like, the reason she's even at the health center is because she has community service for a prior infraction. So there's certainly negative things that could come from this, but I was so appreciative that she stood her ground and she was like, absolutely not. This is what I believe in. Like, you're wrong. And I'm not giving up. Like, we're not giving up this fight. So as usual, we're going to break down the episode by kind of the what's going on, the sit-in obviously being the main story. But I think we should start off, because the episode starts off this way, let's do a quick hit on Javier.
Javier needs to be taken to HR, Dino DeLuca's HR.
Please, yes. He keeps doing this to Ben, where he thinks his ex walks in So he's like, Ben, you need to pretend to be my boyfriend. And it's like, what I don't understand about this, Sarah, is Javier is literally married, right? Like, isn't he married? Why does
his
he need
ex,
to?
Ex-boyfriend is shows up.
But right? Didn't he get married?
He is married. Yeah, he's married.
So then
married.
Why does he need to pretend to have a boyfriend? If can he just be like, oh, I'm married?
I mean, maybe like, I mean, does your ex know your current status?
I think so. I mean, one of them does.
Does your, yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is before the times. I'm not quite sure. It just seems like Javier was like, I need an excuse to touch Ben, right? Like, I want to touch Ben. It's very sexual harassy and not a great look for Javier. And I mean, like, he continues to be very like, I'm going to hit on Ben, I'm going to flirt with Ben. It's a little, it could be better. We could do better.
It's not great. We love you, Javier, but stop this. The one thing I did love that he continued this episode, I believe it was, I don't know if it was last episode or which one it was, but the way he says crunch.
Crunch.
And it makes me so happy. I had a crunch on him. It just makes me so happy when he says crunch.
Yeah. I mean, it's adorable. I really think that, I mean, on all fronts, I adore Javier. I think that he is delightful, of really great character. Once again, I know that this is a very like, the actor does not have this accent. Like, he is, I mean, like, he's kind of a white guy. So it's a little bit of like, I don't know, cultural appropriation, but whatever. Like, he just like, he's a delightful character. Mm-hmm. I really, really, really like him. I wish that he would stop sexually harassing Ben. I think that this sort of this particular storyline would not carry through now in the current times, but it 'tis the 90s, and the 90s be the 90s at times.
90s are going to 90s. Yeah. Actually, I think this episode aired in 2000. We may be actually in the 2000s now.
Oh, really?
I think so. Okay. I think we're now officially in the 2000s.
All right. The 2000s are going to 2000s.
It's true. The one other thing I have on my list that we need to talk about before we get into some of the deeper topics are, we have a follow-up on the debate of the box. Oh.
I don't really know. Like, I don't know if I would like consider this like a big movement, because Felicity is walking with Julie and Julie's been having nightmares. So she's just like, yeah, like, I'm having so many nightmares about her rapist, pink guy from last season. And Felicity relates to Julie by saying, yeah, like, I've been having like crazy dreams too. Like, I had this like wild dream about Megan's box. So I feel as though that is actually, in my opinion, bad for the purse debate, because that confirms that it is a dream and not reality. That is not good for me, actually.
Yeah, seems not great for you in terms of if what's really in the box is the Felicity dolls or not. Yeah. But I did wanted to bring it up because it was mentioned on the show. So we did at least get a mention of Megan's box, which gives me hope that they're not just going to drop this, you know, off the side of a cliff and never talk about it again.
That is true. That is true. I have hope that maybe eventually we'll find out what's in Megan's box. Maybe. We'll see.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to KundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So let's jump into Nolan Benn, because I think that we're going to like spend the majority of the time talking about the sit-in. So it feels right to get to talk about the bromance blossoming between these two. Benn is struggling in class, specifically in the class that he's taking that Noel is a TA for. And he needs help, right? Like, he has this embarrassing moment where he tries to help Noel out by answering a question Noel asks in class, but he gets the answer wrong. And that would have been, Sarah, I would have been embarrassed for like weeks after that. Ben probably wasn't, but I would have been.
Yeah. Yeah, you would have been mortified.
I would have been, yes.
Oh, no. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay to be wrong.
Mm-hmm. But Ben needs help. He needs help studying. Like, he's not doing well in class. And so Noel offers to help him. And I have to say, not only for the comedic relief, you know, aspect of this storyline, but I am loving this bromance between Ben and Noel. I think it's so fun. They're so different, but like, they kind of bounce off each other in a really lovely way. And I don't know if it's a credit to like the Scots, the actors, that this is so great or what it is, but it was so good.
Yeah. Scott Square really does do a good job being like a yin to the yang. It's like really fun to see them play off of each other, especially, I mean, once again, it's just like, Ben never had a big issue with Noel. Never. It was just Noel just, you know, being Noel, but it was Noel like having this grudge, being jealous. Like, Ben never cared. So it's like Ben didn't come into this like having an issue, right? Like, his issue is that Ben had an issue. I mean, exactly. His issue was that Noel had an issue.
Yes.
So I just think, like, I mean, Noel is just like letting go. Maybe it's that like Felicity is not with either of them now. Maybe it's that like Noel's getting older and getting hopefully more mature. Like, maybe it's the fact that, like, you know, Noel doesn't have like a lot of friends. I mean, he has Richard, like a lot of guy friends. He has Richard, and no, he doesn't even have Sean. He's not really friends with Sean.
He's not really friends with Sean, no.
So I think it's like really good for Noel to have like a guy's perspective. Of course, he has his brother, but we haven't seen his brother in a season. So all in all, I think it's great that they have the basketball. Now they have the video games. And I love the fact that like Ben was just like, do you want to fucking punch me and get it over with? Like, just do it. Like, and it's kind of like, I think it was Adam actually that might've said like, this is what these guys just need to do. They just need to like punch each other and like get over it. Or maybe we said it. I don't remember who, but somebody said it and it happened. And then Noel hit a little too hard. Ben fought back because Ben's like, Ben does like to punch. He's very like,
Ben loves to fight. Yeah.
Yeah. Ben's kind of like Pacey. Like Pacey loved to punch and be punched. And yes. Ben's like that. Like Ben's like, yeah, like I'll fight back. So they have their tussle and it seemed to work out whatever bullshit it was. And then they were able to just hang. And it seems as though at this very moment, they are getting on. They're playing their video games. I like when they finally did see like Felicity and Julie on TV. They're like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Like, are we having like a delirious moment? But they were not. They and yeah, my only issue, and I think that you brought up a good point. We needed this for the comic relief. Just these idiot boys, like we needed you. Like wasn't everybody calling them?
They
like,
were called. Hey. Yeah. They like, were busy, what? I guess. I don't know what they were. Yeah.
Did their phone not ring?
I think by that point they were probably drunk, right? Because
they were drinking.
Well, what I enjoyed a lot about this episode was that we really get to see the stark differences between Noel and Ben, where Noel is trying to like get serious, hunker down, help Ben study. And Ben is like a child and he gets easily distracted and is like, oh, do you want a beer? Like, let's do this. Let's do that. One of my favorite moments of the entire episode is Ben throws a beer at Noel and hits him in the face with a full beer.
Oh, like, that's what initiated that. Like, hey, do you want to punch me?
Just hit me. Come on. Yeah. I think this is very, you know, hyper masculinity at its finest of like, oh, we're just going to punch each other and then we're over it. But I did enjoy it. I thought it was very funny. What?
Like, do you want to try it? Like, you and I have had, you know.
Yeah, and you would never do this because you would break a nail. Like, there's no way you'd want to do this.
Just listen to me. We had a couple of tiffs in our day. Sure. Maybe sure. I'm still holding on to stuff. Maybe what I need to do is punch you straight in the head.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to be hard because like you're like 4 or 5 inches taller than me. So I'd have to like punch you in the head. But like, maybe this is what I need.
Okay. That's fine. If you need it, we could do it.
Yeah.
I would let you punch me. I don't think it would hurt that bad.
You don't think I can hit hard?
Not particularly. I think that the problem is with your nails, you really can't make a tight fist, and that's going to impact the ability for you to punch me.
I'm trying.
Yeah, now. You can.
Yeah, it hurts me probably more than it hurts you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you don't think that I can hit hard.
No.
It's okay. But I feel like it could help.
I mean,
anything with me?
No, I don't feel the need to punch anybody right now in my current state in life. Well, a few people, but no one that I know personally.
Okay, so you're not holding on to anything. Like, maybe I am.
You're more of a grudge holder than I am, so that would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still a little mad.
If you bring up the states thing, I swear to God, if you bring up the states thing and this podcast right now. You know
me so well.
You're like, I'm still a little mad. I know exactly what you're going to say. It's the freaking states thing, which was how old? I don't even remember why we even started that in the beginning.
Because we were covering Friends Thanksgiving.
Oh my God, that was like over two years ago.
No, babe, that was about 4 years ago.
Exactly, over 2 years ago. That was a long time ago. God, see, the good thing about having a terrible memory is I can't be a grudge holder because I can't remember anything.
That's true. That's true. I have a very good memory, especially when bad things happen to me. I can like probably name every single bad thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
It's too much. That's too much.
I know. It's too heavy. A lot of bad things have happened to me. I know it's a lot.
But yeah, back to Nolan Ben. I really appreciated the scenes they got together, not just for the comedic relief, but because it felt like kind of it was overdue for these characters to have it out a little bit. And I really enjoyed, Sarah, that the first of possibly more physical fights that they've had had nothing to do with Felicity, really. Like, yes, maybe on the underneath there was like pent up aggression about Felicity, but that wasn't what the catalyst was for it. And so I really appreciated that that they're just fighting in Noel's apartment because Ben threw a beer at Noel's head. Like, it's too funny. I thought the actors did a tremendous job in The Morning After, where they're both so hungover and just like beat to shit. Yeah. I thought it was really fun. So I'm a big fan of these scenes that they had together. And I do hope we get more. I can't imagine this bromance is going to last forever, but I did enjoy the scenes we got.
Yeah. I mean, like, what would break them apart? Just like Felicity shit?
I think so.
And I think it would be just like Noel, because like, I even think like, I don't know, like I can't see Ben getting mad at Noel if Noel has a new relationship with Felicity. Like, I just think that like Ben will be very like inward, like he would just be hard on himself, you know? Yeah. Like, maybe I can see him like being like going inward, like not hanging out with Noel anymore, like not, but not like initiating fights and not being petty like Noel would.
Yeah.
I mean, like, as like a team Noeler, I know that my alliances have been questioned recently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I understand Noel. You know what I mean? Like, I am more of a Noel than a Ben. Things bother me. I get petty. I get jealous. Like, I get it. And like, I'm attracted to people that are not like me. And that is why there is the defense of Ben, because I would rather like date a Ben because he is the opposite of me. I need somebody who is like more chill than me, but mm-hmm. I understand Noel absolutely completely. Like maybe I would want to throw a punch if somebody throws a beer can at my head.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you that I think it's mostly still a one-sided rivalry. And I feel like if anybody's going to get upset about the other one dating Felicity, it will be Noel that will be bothered that Ben is dating Felicity. But we'll see what happens with them. For now, I'm loving the bromance. I think it's fun. Yes, the sit-in could have used them. Yes, they should have picked up their phones and been there. But I was happy for the comedic relief that we got, because we're going to dive into the heavier topic of the episode, starting with someone I recognized. Sarah, I don't think you did, but maybe you heard about this.
I've heard the streets. So we have, do you remember the character's name?
I do not remember the character's name. I know from Gilmore Girls, she is Lane. That is her name in Gilmore Girls.
I've never Gilmore Girls. It's something that I'm interested in, but I think we're saving it for a special reason eventually. Not you mm-hmm. and me. I mean, unless you want to. But a special reason eventually is why I haven't watched Gilmore Girls yet. Still working on Better Call Saul at the moment. But I know of her. Now, she is Rory Gilmore's best friend. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. Yes. Actually, her name is Layla in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Do we like her in the Gilmore Girls?
Love Lane. I wouldn't say I love the storylines that she's always given, but I love her as a character and as a best friend. Mm-hmm. I think she's incredible. So I was really happy to see her show up here. She gets an interesting story. So she's kind of the impetus for all of this that happens. She comes to the health center because she needs the morning after pill. And again, I really appreciated that we get many reasons why a person might need the morning after pill in this episode alone, right? In her instance, she was having sex with her boyfriend and the condom broke. And that is a real thing that can happen.
That's happened before.
Yeah. And she's being very responsible, and she's going to a health center to get the morning after pill to make sure that she doesn't have an unwanted pregnancy. So she's being very responsible about this whole thing. And Felicity's like, oh, I'm sorry. We're like really booked. Okay. Let me like go talk to my director. She talks to Greg, who says, oh yeah, we are not allowed to give out the morning after pill anymore. It's been a change of policy because apparently some guy out there, a trustee, was like, nah, we're not going to do this anymore, and cut off access to them. And because, and we know this because Julie was able to get the morning after pill
a year ago. Yeah. So it's a new policy. And Felicity's like kind of baffled because she was like, okay, so, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of information why, besides the trustee, I guess, it doesn't believe in it. And I don't know how it got passed through, but
I assume it was like, I have to assume it was political reasons and or
money.
It could have been liability. Money. I was thinking more along the lines of like one or two people complained and squeaky wheels get grease sort of thing.
Is there like a liability aspect in like an insurance sense? Like if they...
No, because they're doctors, so they could administer it. It's just, I think it's more politics. I think that's the reason. And so because one university trustee was like, nah, we can't do this anymore. All these women who are coming to their school services for support in these matters get turned away. And the biggest, not the biggest problem, but one of the bigger problems about this, Sarah, is this is a time crunch. Like this is, you yes. cannot just be like, oh, I'll wait a week and figure it out later. Like, no, you no. need it. It's called the morning after pill for a fucking reason.
I think like it's like within 48 hours, you have to, like each hour, essentially, it becomes less and less effective. So like, say the incident happened and you had a pill stocked, like you will get the best results if you take it right after the incident happened. Now, I will say with the morning after pill, I don't know if this is still the case, but there is actually a weight limit, essentially. Like it is less effective if you're over a certain body weight, which...
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, for people that are like Layla's size, it's not an issue, but for people in bigger bodies, it is. So so that is just something. I just think that it's like interesting because a lot of people just like don't know that. Like it is some studies say over 155, which is not even...
That's very low. Yeah.
Very low. Some people say 176. So it really it varies. Like if like it is if what the actual cutoff is, I'm sure there is not a cutoff. But yeah, so I just think that like a lot of women, like once again, talking about our education in America around sex, like that would be something that was like really, really good to know. And I don't think a lot of people know that either.
No. And it's, and of course the onus is always on the woman to like, you know, but have to make sure that everything is safe and that like if they need to get the morning after pill, they have to get it because it's their bodies that are the ones being affected by this. And so Felicity is forced to turn Layla away. And Layla, of course, is very upset. She's like, how dare you? Like, your director is okay with this, like making decisions about women's bodies for them sort of thing. And Felicity is very bothered by this entire situation. She feels awful that she had to turn away Layla. And Greg's reaction, like, I will give him credit that he comes around by the end of the episode, but it's interesting to me that he is like still in med school and has a lot of authority at this health service center.
No fucking sense. I think like I would have preferred if he was, I forget like resident intern. Like I forget like what, how
intern is the first. Yeah.
Like, I feel like it would make more sense if he was like an intern or something, or like
if he was already in medical school. He's not even in medical school yet.
Yeah. Like if he was, I think that I think it's ridiculous. It's like, how did this kid get a director position? Is he still an undergrad? Like, is he like a senior? I don't really know. I think it's like pretty stupid.
He was studying for like his MCATs or something, right? Mm-hmm. And he needed the letter of recommendation to get into med school. Yeah. So it's go ahead.
I just, it's what I said last week. Like, for somebody who is so strong in their convictions and is continuously wrong, he is the biggest fucking idiot that I have ever seen in my life. And the fact that Felicity is attracted to this man in any sort of capacity is ridiculous because she is just like, he's just always wrong. He's just,
yeah.
If you said to him, what color is the sky? This man will fight to the death that the sky is purple and he is just wrong, but he will fight to the death about it. And then he'll find out, oh, it's actually blue. And then he'd be like, well, you know, like, I guess I was wrong. No, he doesn't even say I was wrong. He would be like, I don't know. He's just awful, 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 awful. I hate this guy.
Yeah, I think what makes it worse is, again, he has a ton of authority for, you know, reasons he shouldn't. You know, he doesn't even have a medical license. He's not even in med school yet. And he's also extremely jaded for someone who isn't even a doctor yet. Like, when she says, I was really bothered that I had to turn Layla away, he goes, yeah, it was a hassle, right? Like, that's not why she's bothered. Like, she's bothered because this is bad policy, because this is not helping people, which is what you're here to do. And so it really bothered me that he was very jaded already and he's not even in med school yet. That just doesn't seem like someone who is going into the medical field for the, I don't mean to sound like The Bachelor, but like the right reasons. Like, you should want to help people. And he doesn't really. He's more looking at the political aspect of it. And again, I love Felicity in this episode because he's like, oh, I don't really have time. Like, I have to go to class. And she's like, no. I have 2 points to make. She called every other university in the city and they are allowed to give out Plan B. And she, exactly. And she makes another point that basically the morning after pill is high doses of birth control, which we already give out. So I don't understand why, like, it's such a big deal. It's just, so the reason that the morning after pill was taken away was because there were articles written about it and the university was mentioned. And so then the trustees got involved. And so now they're not allowed to prescribe any sort of post-coital contraceptive. It's really bad. And he basically is like, I don't like that they took it away, but there's nothing I can do about it. He's very much like, I don't need to be dealing with this. I have my MCATs to worry about. It's easy for him to say, it's not his health that's being, you know, put at risk here. And it's very, very frustrating for me watching this character be someone Felicity is romantically interested in when everything he did this episode would have been enough for me to be like, abso-fucking-lutely not, bro. Like, the fact that you don't give a shit is upsetting because this is a situation anybody could be put in and you're not willing to fight for women's reproductive rights. That's fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very convenient to not care about something that does not directly affect you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just speaks on the entire issue, right? Like, in my opinion, I just feel like it's a woman's issue. It should be led by women to discuss. And, it's just very infuriating. And yeah, you're right. He's like very jaded for what? Like, because he's been working at the health center for like 3 years and he's like,
oh, fucking whoop. It's come on. And so Felicity's really upset by this. I also didn't really appreciate Tony Pavone's reaction to this. I felt like this was a really bad counseling session, in my opinion, where Felicity's very upset. She's like venting to her counselor about if Julie didn't have access to this pill last year, like that would have made her situation so much worse and it should be an option and it's an injustice and blah, blah, blah. And it feels like Tony like almost laughs in her face. Like she almost shames her for just speaking her feelings aloud rather than taking action immediately. And I just feel like, Sarah, that's not exactly a therapist's job.
Well, okay. So like, I think that like, okay, so what Tony was trying to do, which is what I think like a good therapist typically does do, is making the patient figure it out on their own, like what they should do by, you know, like asking, like, how does this make you feel? Like, what's the injustice? Like, why are you passionate about this? And what can you do about it? And then like the thing is like, Tony wanted her to be like, you can do something, like, but she wants Felicity together on her own. She wants her to figure out, like, I can't control what other people do. I can't control what Greg does. I can't control what the trustees do. I can't control X, Y, and Z, but I can control what I do. And therefore, what I can do is start protesting in a helpful manner to try to make a difference. And that is what Tony is trying to get her client to do. What my issue is that she seems like a little dismissive. Like, I don't think it would have been good for Tony to be like, you need to go out and protest because we don't want your therapist to tell you what to do. Like, advice is good, but a good therapist, in my opinion, helps their patient figure out what they should do on their own. Like, my therapist, like, might know, like, what the right solution is to something months before I do, or my friends or whomever. But it's best if I can come up with the idea organically on my own. So, but the issue was that Tony was a little dismissive and her tactics were a little harsh for me.
They're a little abrasive. I just feel like I could see myself going to my therapist and saying, I'm really frustrated with the state of the world and how men are trying to dictate what I can do with my body and all of those things. And I wouldn't appreciate being laughed at and told to, like, well, do something about it. You know, like, I just think sometimes you need to vent and get those feelings out.
I agree. I think it's also like different types of therapy. I forget like which one is which, but like one type of therapy is more like action oriented and one's more like talk therapy. And this was very like action oriented. Like, what are your goals? What's your problem? What can we do about it? Which some people really, really need. Like, my therapist, when I first started seeing her, basically like the practice that she was working under, like, that's the type of therapy that they push because it was like through a recommendation, like through my doctor. And it was one of those like 12 therapy sessions and like figure out your life in 12 therapy sessions type of thing. And like, it was very like action oriented. Like, what are my goals? Like, if I left therapy, like, or if I was done with therapy, like, how would I would see it would be successful, blah, blah, blah. Thankfully, my therapist transitioned to a different type of therapy, which it's bad that I'm like not thinking about what that is, but now we like talk things out and like now it's more about like feeling like in my body, like how does this make me feel type of thing. So I agree. Like, I wasn't loving this tactic as well. I think that if I left this therapy session, I would feel a little upset
about I would feel worse about myself, which is not the goal of therapy.
No,
but Felicity does.
She gets there. Like, she gets there. She, like, the ultimate, like, way we got there was successful. I just don't like, I think the matter is that, like, also if this was real life, I think that we would spend, like, this first session talking about the injustice, how it makes you feel, how it makes you react. And then it would be, like, a story arc. But in therapy, in the next like three sessions, like this would be session three. Like, we have spent like 2.5 sessions or 1.5 sessions talking about how we feel about it. And then what can we do about it? And I think because it's like condensed into one episode, we don't have time to talk it out. And I think like that is the real issue, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we would see it be multiple sessions. Obviously, we have to shorten it down for the show. But Felicity feels emboldened. And so she goes to Layla and she says, hey, I did a lot of research and it looks like there've been sit-ins that were like, you know, that worked in this situation. And immediately Layla's like, I'm on board. Let me call my boyfriend. We'll be there. So Felicity starts organizing this sit-in at the health center and she's very successful. She gets people there. Elena is there and you know, I love that Elena is the one that says to Felicity at a certain point, like, I don't care that I'm missing class. And we know Elena like is very, very strict about schooling, but this is a cause she believes in. And she's the one who also talks Felicity out of like stopping the sit-in because again, of Felicity's feelings for Greg impacting how she feels about sit-in and not wanting to get him in trouble with his boss. And I mean, I gotta give some credit here to Berkey, who ends up like handing out all these flyers, these bright pink flyers.
In the work. Good for him. We start the episode with him like asking Felicity. He brings her a binder of different restaurants and date options. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but that is so. It's romantic. It's, I don't know if it's romantic, but like
it's just endearing. Kind. It's like nice. It's yeah.
Like I kind of wanted the win for Berkey in a way, but he like puts in the work. He gets all these people to come to the sit-in. Julie and Sean are there. Of course, Ruby, as you said, was there. Like there are a lot of characters. Besides Javier, all the main cat and the boys, the Scott Squared, all the main characters are there. All the characters are there. I don't know if Richard was there, but he was probably there.
He was called, but I don't think he was there. And Sean is there. He's documenting the whole process and everything. And of course, Greg doesn't like it because his boss is supposed to be coming to the health center and he needs a letter of recommendation for med school. And of course, if he sees all of this happening, then that's not great for Greg. And ultimately, this was, I was like flabbergasted at this, that they call Felicity's fucking dad to be like, hey, come talk your daughter off this ledge here. Like she's making a problem for us. And Felicity's dad comes in and is just like, what are you doing? You could get expelled, blah, blah, blah. And good on Felicity for having 2.5. I would say Greg is the half, like people being like, you need to stop this in the room. All of whom are authority figures, a few of which she respects. Yeah. And her having, you know, the gumption to be like, no, this is important. Like, we're not backing down. Like, the university will give in, or we're still saying here, like, we're going to sit in on this. Yep. And it all comes to a head when, you know, the news gets wind of everything. And so they want to interview Felicity because she's kind of the face of this movement. And Felicity isn't super great at public speaking. She's struggling in front of the camera. And Julie, who we mentioned earlier, she's been having nightmares kind of because of the whole situation with Eric. It has really re-traumatized her and her, you know, she's having nightmares about Pink Eye. And it's all kind of coming back to the forefront in her mind. And this was so like, no one expected Julie to step forward and tell her story on television. You know what I mean? It's one thing to even talk to like a therapist and seek help for these feelings. And
which
like,
she's been ongoingly talking about. She hasn't found one, but she's wrapping her head around it, which I think like makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she steps up and she gives like the absolute best just speech about how important it is for women to have the morning after pill, to have access to this sort of thing and to have the right to make their own decisions. She says it's about women having the choice and having the right. And she says like last year, you know, they distributed the pill and I could have gotten pregnant from rape. And with them distributing the pill, she says it was one less thing I had to worry about.
Yeah.
And that is so, and especially because she points out it's not just for women who have been raped, but for women and their partners. Like if there's an accident, if something happens, to have that as a backup plan, like that is, it's just important. And the way, Sarah, I thought it was very believable, the way that she talked about it, because it wasn't like, and this person's study cited in this day, like it was very much a young person speaking about the importance of the morning after pill in a way that was, I'm sure, relatable to many people watching her. And I had to give Julie so many props for that. Like it was just absolutely incredible to watch her have this moment.
Yeah, I think that it was a really big moment for Julie. I think that she's been holding a lot of this stuff in. I think she did wind up sharing with her parents that she did get raped, but maybe she didn't share all of it in terms of having to get the money after pill or whatever. Very brave to tell your story in a national setting and or local. I don't know how far.
Well, it's New York City. So,
yeah. I mean, exactly. Yeah. It's one of the biggest cities in the world, but it's just very brave of her. And it's something that I don't know. I think that the younger generations, these people are Gen X. So at that time, probably weren't heard by the greatest generation, silent generation, boomer generation. Is the silent and the greatest generation the same generation? I'm not quite sure.
I don't know.
I mean, we always feel as millennials, we weren't heard. I know that I love Gen Z. I honestly think that Gen Z is it's a really Tide Pods aside is the great one of the greatest generations because they have the ability to speak out, especially about injustices. And millennials are interesting because we basically were just told what to do. And as a generation, we just felt okay, this is what we have to do. We feel very stuck in a way about we are just trying to be good little beans and that's it. But Gen Z, it just has this ability to speak out and say and I don't know if people are listening to them. I hope they are. I listen to them because I honestly think that they are the voice that we could not have. And I think that they're great, but it's always the youngest generation that's not listened to. But I feel as though it would have been great to see in the late 90s, early 2000s, whatever year we're in now, to see a young person talk about this. And like I said, I don't know if it infiltrated anybody or even watching it in real life, if that connected or resonated with anybody. I feel like some people, especially older people, are so stuck in their beliefs. Mm-hmm. But I think that it would have been great to see this as a young person in that generation.
I totally agree. And it works. That's the thing. It's successful because one of the trustees was watching and saw Julie on TV and they backpedaled and they said, okay, we're going to offer the morning after pill. And obviously this isn't always the way these things work out. But it was lovely to see it work out in this way. And so, Felicity is really excited. She kisses Greg, who did tell his own boss, no, I'm with Felicity. You're wrong, which... Okay. Little late, bud, but all right.
I know. I mean, credit, yes, I'm sure he was in a rock and a hard place.
He's in a tough spot.
With his job. He was worried about losing his recommendation. He's doing this for his own aspirations in his career. And yes, he did come around eventually, not as quickly as I would have wanted to, but I guess credit where credit is due. Don't kiss those nasty ass lips. That man is ugly. He would not fuck him if given the chance ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sucks. They all celebrate that they won and they can leave now. Everyone can shower.
Oh, and yeah, one more thing about this. I really liked the scene where we saw what everybody was doing while waiting. Elena was studying. We see her M&M tactics.
Yes.
Ruby was painting her nails or something. Julie, I think, was strumming along with the guitar. Berkey was, I don't know, probably staring at Felicity. I really, really liked seeing everybody do their thing, very in character. Also, one other thing, we saw one vocal protester at one point, and I was like, that man looks very familiar. Fucking Todd Carr from Dawson's Creek.
Yes, I forgot to mention the director, the creepy director from Dawson's Creek made an appearance in this episode.
I was like, that man, I think, is Todd Carr. And I was right.
I looked it up, but
I went through Dawson's Creek and then I just went to the actor's name and then I confirmed. I did not go through Felicity, IMDb, nor anything else.
Mm-hmm. Love that for you. Love that. Great tactics. So they're successful. But the one little hanging thread we have here is that Megan knows that Felicity kissed Greg.
So yeah, Berkey's upset, and of course Megan is. And I don't know.
I don't know what's gonna happen with this, but it was funny that like she's like, I'm gonna kill her. I don't know. We'll see. That's just like a little bit of a hanging thread here from the episode.
Felicity knew that Megan had a crush on him.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, that they, I don't know, like, I know that, like, it does, like, you know, like, she doesn't, like, take Megan seriously a lot of the times because, like, Megan, like, I don't know, loves to fuck with her. And, like, maybe, like, it's hard to decipher, like, what's real and what's not. But, like, I don't know, Jess, like, if you told me that you had, like, a crush on somebody or, like, if I knew you had a crush on somebody, I would just, like, straight up stay away from them. But they're not friends.
They're not friends is the thing, yeah.
They're
not
friends, but they share a room together.
The thing is Felicity has to know that Megan is going to have it out for her. You know, like, I think as long as you're going into it knowing that, then, like, whatever, Godspeed, but... Yeah, not great for Felicity. We'll see how that pans out next episode, which is documentary part two. We're going to get a follow-up to the first one.
We should have known. They were putting in like little bits and
clues. So much of Sean filming.
Yeah, a lot of Sean filming. Sean like had mentioned bringing his documentary one up to some sort of film thing. I'm interested. Maybe we will like documentary 2 better. I have not complained about the quality of the camera work recently. Mm-hmm. So maybe a 2000s camera is easier on the eye than a 2001 camera. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I don't know. But the good news is we won't have to go through it alone. We are going to have a special guest on with us next week. And speaking of said special guest, Emily had really great feedback for us for this episode. She says, university trustees who have specialized knowledge or experience making decisions for students based on trendy news stories and their personal value system and don't have the students' best interest at heart is the realest thing on this show so far. And it hits way too close to home.
Emily's in some sort of she's also a university librarian, right? Is that correctly?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know she's a librarian. I'm pretty sure it's for a university.
An academic librarian type of thing.
Yes.
We'll ask her next week. We'll clarify.
Yeah. But she also said this episode is super prescient, not just women's rights, but the right for students to peacefully protest. The show does such a good job showing the nuances that go into complicated issues. Wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
So yeah, we will be joined by Emily next week to get more of her thoughts on Felicity. But let's dive into some of our other feedback that we got. We did get a voicemail from Temi, so let's see what he has to say.
Hi, ladies. So I was wrong. It wasn't J.J. Abrams' dream about Megan's box from Help for the Lovelorn. It was Felicity's dream. But dreams are not reality. I feel like I need to watch Inception. Yeah, I mean, we are getting aggravated is what this whole topic is maybe making some people, or at least me right now. But I think we still have time to find out more. So I think Adam maybe should negotiate, call his lawyer, negotiate a deal, maybe.
Plea deal.
The case. I don't know. But in this episode, I think if you watch the movie Moxie, which was, I think, written and directed by Amy Poehler, which is on Netflix, it's a good parallel to this episode. Let me know what you think. If you are interested in watching it, yeah. Thanks. Bye.
Have you ever seen the movie Moxie with Amy Poehler? I am not familiar.
I have not. No, I'm going to Google it right now.
2001 film. Yeah, put it on the Plex. Put it on the Plex. I'll watch it. I'll revert back.
Yeah. Interesting. No, I've never heard of this. But something I'm interested in. Okay, let's hear from DBK and hear what he has to say about this episode.
What up, though, ladies? Revolutions. Who had Todd from Dawson's Creek showing up for the city? Did you guys have that on the bingo card?
No.
Also, I guess this lady is Layla Foster is from Gilmore Girls. It's like Rory's best friend, I guess. We got a great opening scene this episode. Javier hitting on Ben because his old boyfriend is in and it's not his old boyfriend. We get another reference to Help for the Lovelorn. Felicity is walking with Julie and she references she had a dream about Megan's box. This is once again referenced Help for the Lovelorn. So that's two references in canon, as Adam would say, and then there's gonna be like another one that you guys like can't miss coming up.
Ooh.
So there's gonna be at least like three to that. So I don't know how that weighs in on the whole purse fiasco, but there's that. And then Felicity has like a pretty good rant with Pavone, which is pretty funny as well this episode. Yeah, and then we get a reappearance of Berkey, who's trying to take Felicity out on a date. She kisses Greg in excitement, and she's going to die next episode because Megan's going to kill her. And just so I'm clear again, what is it with, like, you're not allowed to date your friend's crushes? Because, like, I'm very confused on where the line is, guys. Anyways, yeah. Till next week, ladies. Peace.
Okay, so let's see. Okay, we'll see about the purse thing, because I am feeling like it's not looking good for me and my $400-$500 purse. We'll see, though. We'll see. Like I said, we also bought a new car. And I think that we have a lot of expensive stuff coming up. There might be, you know, weddings or rings or something. I don't know if we can afford a $500 purse at this time, but
we'll see. It was a $300 purse.
Yeah, I can make
bump up the price by $200.
Yeah, well, we do need a lawyer to kind of negotiate something. We'll get Tom up in here, or maybe Nick, our friend Nick.
Yeah,
Nick,
our friend
you
Nick.
Want to do some family lawyering? I don't know if you do that, but give me a buzz on the Discord. And then in terms of, okay, so like the thing is that what DBK is referring to is that we give Julie a pass for dating Ben, but we do not give Felicity a pass for dating Ben and, and then on top of that, we give Felicity a hard time for kissing, Greg. Is his name Greg?
Greg is his name. Greg. Here's the situation. I would say Julie got a pass because she asked Felicity if it was okay first. Felicity did not ask Julie.
Well, she lied to Felicity. Or Felicity lied to Julie and said, exactly. Oh, no, we're just friends. That is like the difference, you know? Yeah.
And then in terms of Megan and Felicity, they're actively kind of enemies. Like, I would not call them friends.
Yeah. I don't know. I do have a problem with Felicity. I don't know. I do find it an issue. And maybe Julie did know. I mean, she did ask the question. I don't know. I just think, as a general rule, if you know that your friend has feelings for a guy or a girl or whomever, then you should stay away. That is what I feel. That is my general consensus. And if that is a little bad on Julie at times, then it's bad on Julie. It's definitely bad on Felicity at times. And it's definitely, well, a lot of the time. That is my general rule. I mean, do you agree with that?
I think that it's worse if it's your like BFF. It's not as bad if it's your roommate who you don't really like. And also, I don't know. She could have picked up on context clues that Megan is into Greg. I don't feel like Megan explicitly
Megan fish. Like, stay away from Greg.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, bad on Felicity. I think if Felicity wants to move forward with Greg, she just has to be prepared for the consequences is all, because Megan doesn't like her already and she's really going to not like her now. Yeah. Especially because Megan has never really expressed interest in anyone. So I feel like Felicity should have been like, oh, maybe I should step back because this is the only time.
Do you think that Julie should have read context clues and realized that Felicity really did like
No, because Felicity said, I don't care, do what you want. So I feel like that's you just asked and she gave the answer. Mm-hmm. It's not Julie's fault. We also got an email from Jamie, who I thought her perspective was very interesting. Did not really enjoy this episode at all. I understand the content of the episode is extremely important, especially today. But in general, not a big fan when shows go after school special on me. I did enjoy seeing Lane from Gilmore Girls and Todd from Dawson's Creek. The highlight of the episode was definitely Ben and Noel. The two Scots were hilarious. The bit with Javier and Ben was also hilarious, but might not hold up well. I'm excited for next week, documentary part two. I know you ladies weren't necessarily a fan of the first one, but it was one of my favorites of season one. A friend of mine who has seen the whole series has said that documentary part two is better than the first one.
Honestly. Hey, okay.
The show was on a good streak since returning from the mid-season break, but these last two episodes have fallen flat for me. Hopefully the show will pick up again. How do you ladies feel season two stacks up against season one so far?
I like it a lot better. I really like it a lot better. I think that like I spent a lot of season one disliking Felicity. I really like the woman that Felicity's become. It's much easier to root for her and follow along and like just be excited. I think that it's grasping my attention more this season. I think that on all fronts, I like it a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I wasn't necessarily a big fan of season one. I said that, too. I was like, I don't know. I remember for most of the show, I was like, I don't know if like I've ever covered a show that I didn't really like. Mm-hmm. And I've turned around on that.
I think I definitely like Felicity a lot more this season. I think like definitely some of the steps that she's taken has made me enjoy her a lot more as a character. I think I am more like even between liking both seasons. I think season two has had some, I think season one had some high highs, but some really low lows. And I think season two has been a bit more consistent. But I think they're in my opinion, about the same quality. Like I'd have to rewatch both to really, really be able to say which one I like more. But I think I was quicker to like the show than you were, but definitely agree that Felicity as a character has greatly improved.
Yeah, which makes sense because she came into the show as an 18-year-old that didn't have a lot of life experience. And she was a stalker. And was a bit of a stalker. Mm-hmm. And she is growing up. And I, like I said, I really like the woman that she's becoming.
Yeah.
I'm excited for her to continue growing.
Yes.
Maybe making a back step, but that is what being in your early 20s is all about. You make really bad sloppy mistakes. But that's okay because like those are the lessons that you need to learn in life. But I really like Felicity as a character, as a person. And as we've said, like I'm like proud of her, like as if she's my little sister, just like seeing her, you know, be more confident in herself, being confident in her beliefs, standing up for what she values and thinks is right. I'm just like really excited for her to continue to evolve and become like an adult. And I think, I think that like, she is like a great role model for everybody.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think she's really grown in these past two seasons. All right, let's assign a winner. I have a pitch for you because we never ended up giving out a point for Great Expectations. And in my opinion, in this episode, Revolutions, I really would love to give a point to Julie and a point to Felicity. I feel like both of them had like absolutely incredible moments. And I feel like I would feel bad about not giving one of them the point if I gave it to the other. So I'd like to use our extra point that we have just laying around and give one to each of them.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we gave that point to Megan at the time, but...
No, I'm looking at my spreadsheet. I don't have anything.
It was like the episode after. But I'm okay with that. That's fine. Like, if it was up to me, I would have made the pitch for Felicity, even though Julie did have a big moment. But I'm fine with that. If you want to give an extra point to Julie, but yeah. Just know that I would have given it to Felicity. I would have given if I had to pick one.
It's on the record. Let the record state. So. Next week, we're going to be talking about season 2, episode 17, Documentary Part 2, with Emily. I'm really excited. I hope it's, again, hopefully Jamie is right and it is better than the first one. And you know what? If nothing else, we'll get some more Sean, which is exciting. And we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Maybe the Julie Sean thing is going to come to a head.
Oh, interesting. Maybe.
Yeah, that would be exciting.
Yeah. So that will be next week. In the meantime, same stuff is going on for me. You could find me at the Just Sterling. You could find the podcast at Shit 90s Pod. And make sure you give us little 5 stars and a little review. Every little bit helps. We love getting feedback from all of you. So keep sending it in. And Sarah, anything else you want to direct the listeners to?
No, just the same plugs as normal. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, so we'll be back next week. Until then, everyone, have a good one. Bye. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.